Let us unite our hearts together as we open this service tonight. Our help, Lord God, is in thy name, in thee who has made heaven and earth, in thee who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking the works of thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's sing together Psalter 136 of verses, Dust to Dust, the Mortal Dies, Both the Foolish and the Wise, a appropriate psalm to meditate on and last evening of a year. So let's do all four verses of 136.
Dust to dust.
Let us turn in the scriptures to the book of Psalms tonight. Psalm 27 will be the scripture we will consider. And after that, I'd like to read with you from the Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 37. So first let's read then and hear the word of God from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So far the reading of God's scripture, and let's hear now the confession of Article 37 about the last judgment. So page 24 in the back of your Psalter book. Finally, we believe, according to the word of God, when the time appointed by the Lord, which is unknown to all creatures, is come, and the number of the elect complete, that our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, corporally, that is physically, and visibly, as he ascended, with great glory and majesty, to declare himself judge of the quick, the living, and the dead. Burning this old world with fire and flame to cleanse it, not to destroy it. And then all men will personally appear before this great judge, both men and women and children that have been from the beginning of the world to the end thereof, being summoned by the voice of the archangel and by the sound of the trumpet of God. For all the dead shall be raised out of the earth, and their souls joined and united with their proper bodies in which they formerly lived. As for those who shall then be living, they shall not die as the others, but be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and from corruptible become incorruptible. Then the books, that is to say, the consciences, shall be opened, and the dead judged according to what they shall have done in this world, whether it be good or evil. Nay, all men shall give an account of every idle word they have spoken, which the world only counts amusement and jest. And then the secrets and hypocrisy of men shall be disclosed and laid open before all. And therefore the consideration of this judgment is justly terrible and dreadful to the wicked and ungodly, but most desirable and comfortable to the righteous and the elect, because then their full deliverance shall be perfected, and there they shall receive the fruits of their labors and trouble which they have borne. Their innocence shall be known to all, and they shall see the terrible vengeance which God shall execute on the wicked, who most cruelly persecuted, tormented, oppressed, and tormented them in this world, and who shall be convicted by the testimony of their own consciences, and being immortal, shall be tormented in an everlasting fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. But on the contrary, the faithful and elect shall be crowned with glory and honor, and the Son of God will confess their names before God his Father and his elect angels. All tears shall be wiped from their eyes, and their cause, which is now condemned by many judges and magistrates as heretical and impious, will then be known to the cause to be the cause of the Son of God. And for a gracious reward, the Lord will cause them to possess such a glory as never entered into the heart of man to conceive. Therefore we expect that great day with the most ardent desire, to the end that we may fully enjoy the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's quite a confession. That's an amazing confession. How far is also God's children from this type of faith today? Shall we together seek the Lord together in prayer for this evening? Almighty and eternal God, Thou art not only King over all matter and over all space and over all things, Thou art also King over all time. As we gather tonight here, Lord, as a good tradition, as we stand facing the passing of another year, and we desire to be here for a moment, Lord, in Thy presence, and we pray, O God, that we may face Thee tonight as the unchanging, the infinite, the almighty, the eternal. And may we have a sense, O God, of the great solemnity of the thoughts that we read also here condensed in this confession of what Thy biblical teachings are on the termination point of all history, to which we have again approached much closer. And O God, indeed, let us feel and let us sense something of what we feel and sense when we stand at the foot of a majestic mountain. Then we feel awe and we feel little. And let us feel that tonight as we are here gathered to this evening. And we have reasons to thank Thee, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for Thou hast governed over every detail of this past year. And for some of us, we admit that the aspects of life were draped in blackness and sadness. Some of us have been sorely pained. There is some deep loss carved into some of us, great wounds and deep scars. And Thou knowest, Lord, that that is felt also on an evening of the passing of a year. And we pray that Thou uphold such and draw them nearer to Thy heart in these moments of memory, moments of missing, moments, O God, that are better felt than spoken out. And please, Lord, embrace them with Thy presence and fill their hearts with a sense of peace and submission, knowing that what Thou dost, though we can't always see and may never see on this side of the grave or on this side of time, but that Thou dost all things well as the wise designer and guider and governor of all of our lives. We had most of us, Lord, and most of the details of our past year were also astounding in the light of what we deserve. Now Thou hast not rewarded any of us according to what we do to Thee. Thou hast spared us through accidents and sicknesses. Some of us have been very long sick, or even at this moment many of them are sick. But Lord, most of us again became better. Some of us had accidents, but we were spared. We were surrounded with dangers, but it didn't touch us so that it took our lives. We didn't have poverty, most of us at least. Or we did not, Lord, have to flee our homes and try to get into a better country, as so many others are trying to do, even in our own country. And we are not in prison tonight, Lord, because we've confessed Thy name and come to church, as so many others. Thank Thee. Thank Thee, Almighty. Thank Thee, gracious Lord, for Thy caring, faithful, gracious, loving kindness towards us. Let it humble us tonight, Lord. Let Thy goodness lead us afresh to repentance over any sin that even now may be on our conscience. And, O God, indeed, we read, there comes a moment that all the books shall be opened. That is to say, our consciences. And if they have not been washed and by the blood of Jesus, and if they have not been covered by the righteousness of Thy Son, what a dreadful day it will be, Lord. And we pray, please open consciences tonight. While the market of free grace is still open, while the blood of Jesus Christ is still an open fountain in which we may cleanse and be made whiter than the snow. O Lord, we beg Thee indeed that so Thou would engage our hearts to make use of the time of grace and of the nearness of Thee as Savior, that any of us who have neglected so great Savior and such great salvation, may, O God, this evening hour come to different dealings with Thee. Please bless us with Thy Spirit tonight. Teach us by Thy Word. And so, O Fountain of all good and Lord of all glory, be pleased to shine forth Thy face and the glory of Thy face upon all of our hearts in such a way that we may reach that statement of trust, no need the statement, Lord, but the life of faith and the life of trust and the life of waiting that David here confessed and spoke about in the psalm we read. And so please, Lord, bless us this evening. Convince us tonight if we are not such as David and we're not ready for Thy return on the clouds. O God, speak to us so that Thou teach us to obey Thee, working within us both to will and to do as Thou commands us to do. Please, please, Lord, deliver any of us from any false resting ground and lead us to the only rock of salvation. And so let this passing of time and this stepping into a new year impress upon us, Lord, how short time is. We have seen younger men and also older ones in our congregation pass away this year. And Lord, we know of others who have died in youth and in childhood, and those who have been taken suddenly or after sick beds. And so please, Lord, impress upon our hearts in this moment, also those who are listening at home or those that are sick at home that cannot even make it tonight. Pray for Anne in all her weakness and struggles, as she would wish to come, but cannot, Lord, on account of the weakness of her body. And be with others that are sick, with children at home, or others of our church family that are visiting friends or family elsewhere. And so, blessed Father, we pray that Thou strengthen Thy church in faith, so that we will also not faint when we are facing the struggles and the trials of life and the wickedness in our world. Teach us to be like Jonah in the fish, when he said that when my soul fainted within myself, I remembered the Lord. And so, gracious God, wilt Thou bless this evening also all those whom Thou hast called to preach. Please, O God, send Thy Spirit and burst forth through all these limitations of preachers and hearers to let Jesus' kingdom come with power and let it grow and flourish. And then what an incredible comfort is the revelation of Thy sovereign grace, of Thy one-sided initiative to gather sinners. And Lord, as Thou art drawing tonight, let us not resist and overcome our resistance, and lead us together that we may end with each other a year gone by with David's confession. We ask it all in the pardon of our sins, O God, are many, but will Thou wash and cleanse us and look upon us in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we sing Psalter 106. Especially for those who have gone through the hardships of deep loss this year. What wait I for but thee? My hope is in thy name. How often don't we read statements like that in the Psalms? And not only about outward afflictions, but from all my sins deliver me, nor put my soul to shame. Let's do all six verses of this Psalm 106. A few moments we gather here to formally meet with God, the God of all time, and the God of all grace, and the God of all patience and goodness. That's a good thing to come here for a moment before we pass out of the land of 2019. It wasn't the land of the living. Richard Baxter, an old Puritan, is quite right when he comments, "Alas, what a land of living is this, in which there are more dead than living, in which there are more underground than above it. Where the earth is fuller of graves than it is of houses. And where parting and separating from loved ones tears us apart. I thought he was quite right. 2019 hasn't been the land of the living for our church either. It's been another year in the land of the dying. We've laid to rest 3 members of our congregation this year. And the reality in 2020 will be no different. It will not be the land of the living. We are not living in the land of the living. We are living in the land of the dying. That land of the living is only there where none are but alive ones, and where the church will be a church without a churchyard. Now that's an old-fashioned word for a cemetery. Around the churches always were the cemeteries. That was called the churchyard. There will be no church in this life without a churchyard. But there is a land of the living beyond this earth. And so, friends, as we are parting from this year, and as we are facing another year, I've chosen Psalm 27 tonight to listen together to David, as he also is in the land in which he meets with struggles and trials and oppositions and false accusations and hosts of enemies. Psalm 27 is kind of one of those pages out of the diary of David. And if you read the psalm, sometimes he's on the top of the mountain and he sings without any fear, though an host should encamp me, I will not fear. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation, for whom shall I be afraid? If you go to the psalm, he's quite often on that position of strong, confident. In the land that faces enemies, I mean, troubles. Yeah, you look at these verses. Verse 5, he speaks about a time of trouble. And in verse 6, above my enemies, round about me. And in verse 12, for example, enemies again and false witnesses risen out and people that breathe out cruelty. And yet he sings. Notice, he sings while all these people are around him and while all these troubles are upon him. He sings in confidence while the circumstances haven't changed. And then the next moment, he's down again. And he's really discouraged. And he misses God and he feels forsaken. So what makes a difference? The one point he's really up, the next point he's really down. Now, if you look at the circumstances, they have not changed. This man's circumstances never got any better. His life journey kept on bumping and bumping against all kinds of troubles. And to the end of his life, he faces enemies and false witnesses and so on. What's the difference then? Why can he sing the one time and why can't he sing the other time? It has all to do with the exercise of faith. When he has faith in exercise, he is defying the host and hordes of wicked people. And when his faith is not in exercise, he cowers like a coward. And he falls. So that's our text words for tonight. Let's look at verse 13 and 14 in particular. That's really where he explains and where the Holy Spirit gives us tonight a little instruction and guidance about not only how to live in how to exit a year, but also how to enter a year. Let's read that. Verse 13 and 14. He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Now he begins to speak to us. And be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we have another one of these verses that speak about waiting tonight. And now in the context of this psalm, as an exhortation to us. So may I sum up this verse as the only strength. The only strength. David had the only strength here, and it is verbalized in these two verses. The only strength that we have in weakness, or the only strength that we have when we face strife, or the only strength even when we face death. What is it? It's faith. To believe in order to see. Notice verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see. The only strength is faith. To behold. And the second, to wait in order to be strengthened. The only strength is to wait, verse 14, in order to be strengthened. Now those are two cardinal truths that this night we are to examine whether you have that. Whether this is my life as I part again from another year and face the next one. In verse 13, let's start there first, looking at, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you have your Bible open, you know there's something special about this verse. What's special about it? There's three words added that are not in the Hebrew. Every time you see it in the Bible, you should ask yourself, why is that? I had fainted is not in the Hebrew Bible. Our translators have translated that. In this case, I really think they did the right thing. They explained by these three verses more of the verse. It's a very good addition. Yeah. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, I had fainted. I wouldn't have been able to handle. I would have been withering away. I would have been fleeing away. I would have given up. That's kind of the idea of the verse. Unless I had believed to see, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. Maybe that speaks a little bit to you and me. Looking back over this year and looking at your circumstances today, we all have our own packets. We have all in our own circumstances. We all deal with our own little life story. Maybe you can identify with David. Lord, I had fainted under all the stress and the strain. Oh, you fill it in. What is it? Sometimes I get so discouraged when I look at this unbelievable wicked world we live in. I had fainted. When you let it trickle down what in this past year this nation has grown into more than it did the year before. There's no flourishing future for our nation. I had fainted unless I would see. Well, maybe you say, I had fainted, Lord, when I look at my personal trials. Jane is not here tonight because she had to work. She lost her husband. I had fainted. How do you handle that? Sickness. Loss of children. There are parents tonight who think back about their child they buried this year. I had fainted, Lord. If I would have to deal with these things, how would you deal with this? Maybe you are meeting with impossibilities or oppositions in providence. Maybe the roads are closed or the doors are closed. Maybe, I don't know. You could have all kinds of issues that you look at and you struggle with and you're burdened with in your family, in your work, in your life. I had fainted, O God, We've drawn a little closer. I have my bosom sin, and I faint at times. Lord, can I not one day live without this bosom sin? Could not this sin once be out of my mind? I had fainted, friends, if I wouldn't know that there would be a day coming that I will be rid of my sins. I had fainted. If there was only darkness and only sin and only trouble and only afflictions and only tiredness and only weariness, we would all faint. And this man of God, who has had a quite trialsome life in 27, is not fainting. Now maybe we need to ask ourselves, how did he then handle this, and why did he not faint? In other places in the Psalms, he says he's poor and needy. Now let me explain that word poor and needy for a moment. I hear that phrase often, God's people are poor and needy. And children, maybe you don't understand what that means. God's people are the most blessed people in the world. I am so privileged to be a child of God. I am so privileged to know God as my Father. And to know that he cares for me, there is absolutely no poverty in that regard. All my needs are supplied, and all the riches of Christ and all the riches of the Father are given to his church. That way we're not poor. But how is God's children poor and needy? They can't do anything without God. They can't believe, they can't trust, they can't sing. They can enjoy. That's how they are poor and needy. That's true. And indeed, if you live far away from God, you feel that more and more. And there were times that David felt that too. And yet, he also has other times. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. I don't have anything to fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. I don't have to be afraid of anybody. Is he then not poor and needy? Yeah, he's still poor and needy. But he feels then he's in the hand of an almighty God who holds his hand around him, and therefore even if he faces all these trials and circumstances, he's safe. He's in God's hand. Still poor and needy. He feels the loveliness of God's presence. Now, to go back to our text, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How did David deal with his needs? He believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Now, notice the order. Many of us turn this around. They say not, I will believe to see. No, they say, I will see to believe. That's the opposite order of the Bible. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, first see and then believe. That's what Thomas wanted. The order is always first believe. Then you will see. Heart. It's again on this faith. It's again this trust. It's again this that I need to believe, isn't it? Yeah, indeed. That's the Bible. That's the gospel order. And congregation, unless we follow David's example, we're going to sink like a stone. Unless we are living in this order of David's life of faith, I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, we will faint. We will fail. Now, the importance of faith is emphasized everywhere in the Scripture. From cover to cover, the Holy Spirit exalts faith in the Lord. Storm on the sea. Boat is filling up with water. disciples are seeing this happening and they are thinking, we are going to drown. And they wake up Jesus, and instead of him saying, good, you woke me up, he says, where is your faith in me? No need to wake me up. Believe in me and in my Father. He was a hard pastor, the Lord Jesus. He was sometimes a really tough pastor. The way he dealt with those disciples, didn't he? I mean, couldn't he be a little bit more compassionate and a little bit more mild? These poor disciples, they were thinking they're going to live in the, they're going to drown that night. Where is your faith in me? From the beginning to the end of the Bible, that's how the Holy Spirit deals with us. Where's your faith? Jairus' heart is cut up. His dear little 12-year-old is dying. And here he gets in delay as Jesus is walking with him to the house. And now it's too late because the people come and says, your daughter died. And Jesus turns around and says, you believe only. See, faith is the important aspect here that is in the secret of David's life, congregation. Faith is the means to overcome the world, though weak in ourselves. Faith is the means for the ungodly to be justified as he depends and looks and rests in Jesus' righteousness. Faith is the way that we can rejoice while the stall is empty and the harvest fails. Faith is the secret to sing while you're standing alone against a host of enemies. Faith is the means to rejoice while you live in the land of the dying. See how important faith is? Unless I had believed to see the goodness, faith is the means to experience peace while the waves are crashing over the boat. That's why Jesus slept. He didn't sleep only because he was tired. He slept in that rocking boat because he believed his Father was holding his hands around the boat, no matter how it rocked. You see, that's what faith does. Faith is the means to sacrifice even what was dearest to your heart. None of us were asked, like Abraham was asked, take your son Abram and walk him up the mountain and sacrifice him to me. How could that Abram ever do that? He believed. He believed God. He believed God's promise. He believed God in his person. He believed to see the goodness of the Lord raising up that child again. Believed. Faith is that means by which I may be confident that though father and mother forsake me, he will never forsake me, nor leave me. How important faith is. And when faith falters, I mean lose the anchor ground as it were, yeah, then it becomes like Jacob. All these things are against me. Or then we are like David in another spot when he says, I will perish one day by the house of Saul. It's not going well. I will never get there. Or we will talk like Israel. The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord has forsaken me. That's the language of unbelief. See, that's the secret of David here. Nothing is therefore more needed on a day like this than faith. In what? Not in you. Not in yourself, not in your own efforts, not in your church. In who then? In God's goodness. Let's read the text again. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. That's a lovely theme, the goodness of the Lord. That's a rich phrase, friends. The goodness of the Lord is also His faithfulness. It's His power. It's His presence. It's His wisdom. It's His love. Our fountain of comfort. Our house of refuge. Our security is the goodness of the Lord. Jehovah is the name here. I would have not made it. I would have succumbed. I would have sunk like a stone in the water unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's no mine of gold richer than the goodness of the Lord. And friends, that whole phrase, the goodness of the Lord, what's it really? Let me just paraphrase it in New Testament language. That's Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's the goodness of the Lord embodied in the person born in Bethlehem. That's the goodness of the Lord in Him who came to this earth, in whom are given all riches of grace, all riches of pardon, all riches of righteousness, all riches of goodness, and not just for people that are worthy, no, for poor people, for needy people, for unworthy people, for guilty people, for dead people, for poor people. Understand, the gospel is for the poor. The message of grace is for the guilty. The goodness of the Lord is for the unworthy. You don't have to look at yourself to qualify yourself. You don't have to look at yourself in order to earn this. There's nothing to earn. We're done earning. That's over after the fallen paradise. There's nothing to earn. It's only to receive. It's only to believe. It's only to embrace. It's only to take from Him, out of His hand, what He offers and gives in the goodness of the Lord. David understood it so well. What is this man far in the life of faith already, even though he has only a very small Bible? He has very little of the Bible, and yet he says it so plainly. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Come, my fellow sinners. You know what the only safe and secure way to live in this dangerous world with your perpetual sinful heart? You know what's the only safe and secure way to go into a new year or to exit an old year with everything behind you that was bad and sinful and guilty and so on? It's when we trust or hide or take our refuge to the goodness of the Lord. And I hope that tonight you may do that, if you haven't done so. It's dangerous to live without faith in the goodness of the Lord. For then you won't only faint, then you will perish. It's dangerous to be an unbeliever. It's dangerous to be without a refuge of the goodness of the Lord, my friend. If I would have to stand on my own record before the judge of heaven and earth, I would indeed invite the mountains to bury me. My thoughts life, my walk of life, I couldn't stand before Him, could you? And David says, I had also sunk unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's beyond here, right? The land of the living is not here. That land of the living is beyond this life. I may invite you this evening in the name of my beloved Master, that the door is still open for a man, a woman, child, boy, or girl like you. He sent me here tonight not to beat you with the rod, but to allure you, to say, and to call you, to seek your heart this evening. There's a rock of shelter, there's a shield of protection, there's a provision for the guilty, there is salvation for the sinner in Jesus. My Master is ready to receive you back again and again and again and again and again till it's over, till he comes back. Then it's over. Then we will see him again with our eyes as we see the fans here on the ceiling tonight. And it's over. But not tonight. My Master calls you and assures you there's still room in his goodness of his heart and in the goodness of his arms, in the goodness of his grace, in the goodness of his mercy. No, friends, if you have no faith tonight, then you are in trouble. Then you are on a boat without anchor in a stormy sea. No, you're not on a boat without an anchor on a stormy sea. You are in a sinking boat. You are in trouble if you don't have faith tonight. You say, well, where must I go then if I don't have faith? Now, to the same Jesus. Because there is no faith in your pocket and no in my pocket either. I'll give it to you tonight, but I can't. But he is able and he is willing. And he is the author and the finisher of faith. And therefore to him you must cry and to him you must flee. And at his feet you must wrestle and you must call upon his name. And you must say, O Lord Jesus, I have not the faith of David. And therefore I don't have confidence to see thy goodness in the land of the living. I don't have that confidence, Lord, that this David has. I don't have that faith. Wrestle then tonight. Wrestle before him and pour it out, friends. And please stop soothing your mind. We're saying, you know what, we can't do it of ourselves. I know that. But you know, if you see somebody drowning, you never hear him say, well, I can't get out of this water, so I'll just stay here. He yells and screams and spatters and jumps and whatever he does everything to let you know he needs you. Do you do that to Jesus too? And therefore, those people who say to me, I can't do nothing and do nothing, they have never yet realized that you are sinking like a stone from the presence of God, O beloved. Once more, realize where you are when you are outside of Jesus Christ. And you are lost. And don't seal that with your own unbelief. No, present your case for faith at Emmanuel's feet. Point to his word. Go find it in Acts 5 yourself tonight and lay your very finger by it and says, Lord Jesus, thou art exalted to give repentance and faith. Have you ever wrestled with your finger at that? Before the feet of Jesus? Yeah, go find the verse and go read it back to him. and leave it. Leave your finger there and wait and wrestle and cry and wrestle again and cry and says, Lord, thou set it here. Thou art exalted to give to me what thou commandest me to do. That's how we are to wrestle with this exalted Savior and Prince of Life. Now let's conclude. The second verse of verse 14 is David's counsel. He says the only strength in our weakness is to wait in order to be strong. You hear this fellow wrestler, he knows very well how intense the wrestling is. David is a veteran. He knows how easily his foot slips, how soon he falters instead of fights. He's been there. And now he speaks to us. And it's really not David who speaks to us. It's the greater David that speaks to us. And he says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on him. Now we've looked at the word waiting. Here we have another text in waiting. Waiting, what is it again, waiting? Waiting is to look to God. Waiting is to take your case to God. Waiting is to lean on Him. Waiting is to cast your burden on the Lord. Waiting is to lay the impossibilities before God and say, Lord, here it is. I can't handle this. I can't fix this. I can't do this. But I lay it before Thee, Almighty. Waiting on God is to daily wrestle with Him and to lay the matters on His feet. Waiting. That's not easy. We want to get everything fixed. Sometimes we can't wait. We want to fix now. We want to immediately get it all sorted out. Count on it. There will be more things unfixed in this life than fixed before you die. That's what David is saying. He faces false accusations. He faces enemies. He faces false witnesses that have risen up against him, and men and women that are breathing out cruelty. He can't fix that. What does he do? He waits on God. He says, Lord, here it is. I can't fix this. These are problems and issues and sins that people do to me. I can't handle. Here is a broken situation, Lord, I cannot fix. I've tried it. I can't. Here it is. And there comes a day, God's going to fix it. When? When He comes back. Did you notice when we read that this evening? That judgment day? It's a terror for the wicked. But you are wrong, children of God, if you only look at the judgment day as a terror. The judgment day, there's times I really long for it. There's moments and situations that I can't wait for the judge to take up the case and to make right what is crooked and to make just what is unjust and to fix what I can't fix. That's what David is waiting for. He says, wait on the Lord, people. You have to just commit it to God and leave it to Him. Wait on Him in all your circumstances. Of course, we may wait on Him also for our soul needs. He is the Savior of the sinner. He is the Father of the fatherless. He is a husband for widows. He is a shepherd of the lost. And He is a judge of all. And to wait is therefore to lay yourself at Christ's feet and to rest the impossibilities, the needs, the wants, the unanswered questions at His feet and to trust Him to take care of it. You see, congregation, there's probably not a day that I don't wish to be rid of my sinful nature. Do not think your minister is that holy. You got the wrong idea about him. But I have confidence that one day it will be gone forever. And now David is saying to these fellow wrestlers with the sea of problems in his own heart and in his life, he says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. When you wait on the Lord, He will strengthen your heart. He will take it up. He will overcome it. He will take up the case and finish it for you. You see, therefore, Jesus' own words tonight is speaking to us. Wait on me. Be of good courage about me. I shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on me. He speaks to us who are wrestlers in the sea of corruption. He speaks to those of us who feel the waves of opposition. He speaks to us who are battling with the winds of temptation. Those of us who are tossed up and down in difficult, trying providences, who are facing false witnesses, he says, be of good courage. If you have committed to me and you wait on me, it will all come straight one day. Let me do it. I see the Savior stand in this verse when he says, come then unto me, all you people out there, who are broken and heavy-hearted, who can't fix it, and who are struggling with a sea of corruptions and a mountain of sin and a mountain of problems and a mountain of issues in your life. Come then unto me and rest your case in me and be of good courage, because I will strengthen your heart and I will take it up and I will make all what is crooked straight and I will make all what is dark light. And I will make those that wait on me run without being weary. And I will make you walk without fainting. Now that's a beautiful way to end a year, isn't it? Isn't that a beautiful way, if that would be our portion tonight? And we may say back to God as we close the evening, Lord, I had fainted. And I will faint. And I will faint over and over and over again. If I don't believe to see the goodness of Thee in the land here beyond. Help me, faith. Give me that faith, O God, to believe Thy goodness. To believe Thy record. To believe Thy testimony. To believe Thy Jesus. To believe Thy promises. And so to wait. Let me conclude with one more word of God from Psalm 37. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Whatever you have committed to Him. And I was reading once the Bible of my first wife, and she had written next to that verse in her own handwriting, oh God, how I wish I could do that, to delight and to commit my way unto Thee. Now if you can do that tonight, with ever such trembling heart and ever such struggles, then be of good courage. For what you've given in His hand, He will finish perfectly. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, Thou hast said in Thy Scriptures elsewhere that Thou would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. We've seen it a little bit in this life of David tonight, Lord. This psalm is a jewel. We feel jealous to have such a life of faith as this man has had. But what he had also only by thy grace. And so that gives us courage also tonight, Lord, to come to thee. As we have come to the close of this year, what lies behind us, thou knowest. What we have experienced, thou knowest. What surrounds us today, what faces us tomorrow, thou knowest. But Lord, enable now us all in the end of this year to live in this faith, in this mind, to be staying and to be resting on thee. For not only then will our past be covered by Jesus' merits and washed in his blood, but then also the present and the future will be more sure than the mountains. For thy word says, for the mountains will depart and hills be removed, but thy kindness shall never depart. O God, from any who by thy hand of grace and mercy have learned to believe and trust in thee. And so, O Lord, we pray that thou teach us tonight, as thou taught David, to believe, to see thy goodness in the land of the living. In all our circumstances, O God, may we have this anchor of faith cast into thy goodness. And though it will be tugged and though it will be pulled, Lord, thou fasten this anchor of faith only stronger and deeper into this thy goodness. And that so we may travel on, waiting on thee. O Almighty, prepare thou us to meet thee by making us like Simeon as he took the child Jesus in his arms. Or to make us as the publican, Lord, who stood far off crying for mercy as he pleaded on thy sacrifice. Or, O God, at least may we be as that woman who barely dared to touch the hem of thy salvation and yet experienced thy faith has made ye whole. O Lord, we pray tonight. Let us not part from this life, or from this year, but also not from this life, without this faith in thee. And we thank thee for every soul among us whom thou hast prepared by giving and working this gracious gift of faith in our heart and has taught us to trust thee and thy gospel. Even though, Lord, perhaps their hearts are tossed and their boats are tossed as well, and though their consciences are pricked and their sins are before them, and still then to be able to commit it, all these sins unto thee, and to rest in thy promise that whosoever believeth in thee shall see thy goodness in the land of the living. So, Lord, we pray that as we have this evening, that thou instill in us a sense of the brief character of our journey we make on earth. And as we recall yet in this service, dumb bits have parted from our homes and from our arms, though not from our hearts. We pray that thou teach us likewise to number our days, that we may come to know wisdom. Hold us still long enough tonight to hear the rush of time and to hear the approach of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a year of loss for our congregation this year. Three of our members God has taken from us. And as I looked at the list, three of them living members. Men, two of them, one of them, and women, no, two of them. Men of prayer and a mother in Israel with prayer. July 11. God took Jeanette Dirksen home, the age of 92. How could her deathbed be so peaceful? How could she say to us so often in those last months of her life, "Why hasn't he come yet?" I had believed. That was also her confession, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Her pillow was the doing and the dying of Jesus. August 10, very suddenly, God took Paul Poles out of our midst, 53 years old, strength of his life. Also a man who believed, as his confession was, and his walk backed up. And on December 16, just this past month, at the age of 90, God took home Wes Harmson, another child of God, a loss for us. Like also he said, at least I had, not in those words, but he had that faith to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and children. That's what he often said to me in those years that I visited with him. I long to go out of this sinful world. Yeah. Also on December 4, not so from our congregation, but Kobe lost her sister at 93, and Russ died. There were others that died in the family circles. Ben and Elaine lost an uncle, I believed. Right? There's others in family circles who have lost family members, friends, and neighbors. All reminds us again on the end of a year that we have here no abiding city. There'll be a list next year. Maybe empty. Maybe more names than this one has. These are all older children. 92, 53, 93, 90. No children yet on our list. But it can also happen. Therefore, also for you, children, tonight, as you sing Psalter 420, verse 1 and 2, then notice the contrasts between what happens to those who are wicked and who are evil. And what they will face, verse 1 kind of deals with that. And then the blessedness of those who die in the Lord, and that's what verse 2 speaks about. So let's sing verse 420, verse 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Most High and let us go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.